Thank you, Lisa. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And that song certainly captured our hunger and thirst after God this morning. Thank you so much. Starting a brand new series today, running through the month of April, and that is the God of Re. I don't know why, but it jumped out at me one morning. Skylar, could I have you take the effect off? That'd be great. Thank you. It kind of jumped off the page at me a few months ago when I saw that God does a lot of re in my life. About the time life gets a little bit organized, God does some rearranging. God does some reorganizing. He brings some refreshing. He does a lot of re. The definition of re, or if we're to look down underneath of what re means, it means with intensity. It means over and over again. It means that God can get done what he needs to get done. And in, of course, our own life, that means that he's given us the propensity to be like him, but sometimes we choose to test his lordship. And it's coming into line with his image that he desires for us. The prefix meaning again or again and again to indicate repetition. Sometimes I don't get it the first time. Can anybody relate?
Amen.
And so he re in my life. He is a God of re. He remembers, he renews, he refills, and the list goes on and on of all the re he does in your life and mine. And I thought, you know, I think there's a sermon series there. So today, when God remembers, when God remembers, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. This is jumping right in the middle of the story of Noah. Don't you love the story of Noah? Man, it's filled with vivid imagery. Animals hanging out of the ark. Off the edge, we don't know, but it must have been a beautiful thing. Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1. Do we have that up there? If we can grab that. Let me find it in the scriptures. There we are. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. This is, of course, right in the middle of the story of Noah and his ark. Story spans from chapters 6 through 9. It's, of course, not a long story, but it's not a short story either. Genesis 6, 5, and 8. We think of the story of Noah and we think, what an amazing event. You have the wickedness of man and God looking down on the earth that he created and basically saying, I've had enough. Here's man that I created in my own image, and yet they're not following my ways. They're not acknowledging my existence. They're roughing up each other, being mean, killing, adulterous. And God said, I've had enough. Let's look. Verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts and his heart had only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made mankind on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe off mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. I am grieved that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I love that. Well, let's briefly think about the story of Noah. God looked at the earth and he saw that man that he created had degenerated. That while he had created them to live in his image, they had chosen a different way. And he looked at the wickedness of the human race And he simply said, "That's enough." Gordon Howey, who I believe was the governor of South Dakota, he said, "The daily news is filled with reports of murder, crime, and debauchery. World leaders meet regularly to discuss how we can cease and end wars all over the world and ensure basic human rights. Debaucherous behavior is becoming ever more normal, and even those who practice it demand legitimization through new laws that further destroy the moral fabric of our world. Can man put an end to this wickedness?" I think that's a great question. And the answer, I think the biblical answer is, we can't make each other do anything that the other person doesn't want to do. There will be a day, however, when all evil and all wickedness will cease, and it won't be because humanity has suddenly become good. It will be because God says, enough. And I think to the Christian, that's a wonderful, graceful reminder of his justice. We see evil go unchecked, apparently, in our eyes. And we see, like the psalmist and the writer of the Proverbs says, how can man just do these things and seem to prosper? How can he kill his brother? How can he commit adultery? How can he steal and cheat and still prosper? And we look and we think, Lord, there is a day coming, and certainly was experienced by the people there in Genesis, when God said, enough. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I really do believe that our culture is becoming more and more desensitized and less conscious of the reality of right and wrong. The secularization of our nation has brought with it the idea that man's best attempts at managing life are in the form of policy and law. I ran across it this week with a man, and we were talking, and it was as though he was trying to do some illegal things. And I was questioning about it, and he was like, "Well, it's okay if you're not going to get caught." And I'm like, "Well, I can't go with that." And it was as though the idea had crystallized in his mind that if I can get around the policy, if I can get around the laws that have been created, it just means I'm smarter. And when there's no moral law, and the best that we can do is attempt morality through policy and law, then man degenerates to this idea that if I can get around if I can get around law and policy, it just means I'm smarter and I'm better off because I'm getting what I want. Psalms 19, verse 7 reminds us, though the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. I'm reminded from the story of Noah that God's law is absolute. Amen. We may think that we can skirt it, get around it sometimes, but the fact is we can't. No sin will go unaccounted for. While we were created with the capacity to disregard moral law, we are not capable of fixing the damage that's created when we violate his law. If I were to run a stop sign of God's moral law in my car of life, eventually I'm going to smash into somebody or somebody's going to smash into me. And the fact is, when I violate God's moral law, damage is going to happen that in reality I can't fix. There's no flaunting God's justice. And the people of Noah's day realized this fact, and there's a day coming for our world here when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 20 through 24, therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Then verses 23 through 24. For all have sinned. That's you and me. Everybody. And fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You see, the fact is God is a God of grace, but He's also a God of justice. And I think we forget that sometimes in our contemporary Americanized church. And we emphasize being graceful, that God is a God of grace, and we should. Amen? He is a God of grace, and it's by His grace I am saved. But there is a day coming when God will say, enough! And everyone outside of the boat, everyone outside of the ark. Jeanette and I were talking about this on the way down this morning about how the Amish, when a child, not real familiar with the Amish culture, but when a child is 16 or 18 years old, they're allowed to go out. What's the name of it? Rumspringum?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're allowed to go out and experience life, and they may or may not come back. But if they choose to go against the teachings of God and against the teachings of the church, they're out. They're out. And Jeanette and I were talking about how hard that would be and how just black and white that is. And then she said, and I thought it was really good, but that's what heaven and hell is. Yeah. It's a choice. And at some point, God is going to say, enough. Today we live in the age of grace, and it's a beautiful place to live. And I really believe, I don't think this is hyperbole, but I believe that the only thing saving this world today from immediate implosion is God's grace. Mm-hmm. Praise His name. Even though the world tests His righteousness, He is patient. The Bible says He's patient with us, not wanting any of us to perish, but that all will receive eternal life. You see, His plan for you and me is that we're in the boat, in His ark. In my time of pastor and 25 years and working in social service and working with families in the social services and working in the mental health field, and I see frequent violations of the law. And I also see that the law most of the time reflects this graceful attitude of, we're going to give you another chance. I've seen it over and over again, and sometimes I'm just surprised at how many chances a person gets. And a person does it maybe a little differently next time, and they'll say, well, okay, but we're going to do this, and then it's okay. And then pretty soon, over and over again, pretty soon, justice falls. The hammer hits the gavel, and the judge says, enough. And yet sometimes we look at God and we think, how could you? Well, the fact is God is a God of love and grace, but He's also a God of justice. No sin will go unaccounted for. We're all living in this age of grace, and thank God for His grace. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of His glory. And this grace of God is a glimpse of His kingdom, of His glorious kingdom, His holy kingdom, where the saved realize what they're saved from and who saved them. I was thinking about the fact that as God has been so graceful to us, we ought also to be graceful with each other. We ought to be the most graceful people on the face of the earth. because we who have been saved from much ought also to realize that there are others who are trying, but we're not the judge. Our role is to be the graceful stewards of His grace. Remember 1 Peter 4:10, my call to the ministry, each one should use whatever grace he has received to serve others. I've received saving grace. I've received tolerant grace. Administering God's grace in its various forms. Well, Noah chapter 8 reminds us that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. I love that. We talked about blessings last week, and I took some pastoral privilege and I said, 2018 is going to be a year of blessing. That we can live in God's blessing. That we, it's not that God says, okay, let's make it a great year. It's that God is God and we can live in agreement with His principles and live in agreement with His moral law and thereby be blessed. Amen. God intended for all people to live in His blessing, holy and sanctified and favored, to be living in His favor, that even though we're not perfect and sometimes we try but we don't quite get it right, God says, well, at least their hearts were right. Jeanette and I had the privilege the last couple days of having Avery and Lizzie with us overnight, and it's wonderful, just wonderful. Well, little Avery is about 3. And yesterday we were getting ready to come to Ariana's birthday party, and we told the girls, we said, okay, get your socks and your boots and your coats and your mittens and your hat on. All right. And they run around. Hey, you got to get over there and get it done. And don't, we can't remember where our boots are, can't remember where our coat is, can't remember where our socks are, can't remember nothing. So we said, okay, it's right over there. Okay, over there. And little Avery has her boots on the wrong feet and has her coat on inside out, upside down, has her mittens on with the thumb over here and got a runny nose and she's got her hat on kind of like this. And I just want to squeeze her, not because she was perfectly dressed, but because she tried and she meant well. And her intention was, I'm going to do it because, are you Pimpaw too? Pimpaw. Because Pimpaw told me. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, evolves a little bit. I think it will. Doug and I share a Pimpaw thing. Yeah, yeah. We're Pimpaws together. Amen. Yes. Yes. All right. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you. Here's Noah in the ark. And God reminding him that I will establish my covenant, my agreement with you. We're going to put this down. That this is how we're going to engage in relationship. I love that. It's a reflection, of course. It's kind of a preview of God's blessing in Abraham. Where God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and Sarah with kids. I mean, they were in their elderly years. And they looked up and they said, what? God said, yes, I'm going to bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. Look at the stars of the sky. I'm going to give you that many descendants. And they said, no way. And he said, yes. And then I'm going to bless you, and then you're going to be a blessing to all nations. But along with that covenant was, Abraham, Noah, I'm your creator. You are to worship me and me only. I'm the only one. And of course, monotheism was a unique thing. When man sought to recreate God in his own image, and we still do that today, God says, no. You are created in my image. Therefore, you are to worship me and me alone. That's the contract. That's the covenant. And Noah says, God says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you, Noah, and Abraham, and church, and amen. Yes. So, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Wow. I love that because it reminds me that God remembers and He acknowledges that the little decisions of in my life about in regards to my stewardship of my time and my talents and my energies, God doesn't forget. God looks at how I brush my teeth and says, that's good or that's not very good. I'm serious. Everything in my life should reflect that I'm created in His image and I should be a careful steward of His investment in my life, His creative ability. I believe the ark can serve as a symbol for three things today. Number one is God's grace. God's grace. The reality is we are kind of in a population, our culture, we're in a population that may or may not acknowledge God. But my prayer, of course, with yours is that as God sees the church here living well, He says, I have found favor. You have favor in my eyes. I have found you righteous. I think the ark can also serve as a symbol of the home. It's a place where we are nurtured and given resources and provision, and we find safety in the ark of God, the home, the Christian home, that acknowledges that it is by His grace we are saved and floating on the top of the water today. I think also the ark can serve as an illustration of the church. It's a place where God's salvation may be experienced and His mission is lived out and His instructions are followed and benefited from. Salvation today. I'd like to invite those who are going to distribute the elements of communion to begin to do that at this time. Genesis 9:15. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. God remembered Noah.
Thank you.
I was thinking this week about how important it is for all of us to be remembered. I mean, it's important to you and me as people to be remembered. A lot of people, of course, write their memoirs. A lot of people will write them out for their family so that their family doesn't forget. But the fact is, we're not very good at remembering. I have a terrible memory. I don't know what to blame it on, but I forgot my Bible out at Lost Lake yesterday morning, and I was walking around the house this morning, and I told Jeanette, I said, I can't find a Bible to save my life. And then I thought, whoa, that was deep. And then I remembered, oh, it's out at Lost Lake, I'm sitting on the table out there. And so I went out completely unarmed this morning without my Bible, but I found it. Anyway, overgrown cemeteries are a picture of how we meant to remember, but we didn't. My dad's cousin, Ralph, down in Southern Illinois, took it on as a personal mission to recover some of these lost cemeteries in Southern Illinois. And so he bought some equipment, earth-moving equipment. and started plowing in brush and unburying these overgrown cemeteries. Pretty neat. Because he recognized that sometimes we forget. But there are people in those graveyards that it's important that some people in their lives remember where they are in their lives and what they stood for. I'm so thankful that God has a great memory, aren't you? He remembers that I tried, even when I get it wrong. He says, he counts that as righteousness. In God's amazing economy, he counts it as righteousness. And he says, my son's got that by his blood, even though it was a mistake to do it that way, I still got this. Thank God. And I'm thankful this morning that the only thing that God can forget is my sin. I love the way that the writer of Hebrews writes this. He says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." I thought, how beautiful. How beautiful for you and me to be reminded that God remembers everything except for the things that the blood of his son covers. It's a thorough covering. Amen. It's full salvation. And I thought that echoes certainly 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Funny how God can't forget you and me, and he can't remember our sin, but I seem to have this ability to retain when people wrong me. And it's like, oh, I can remember that. But God reminds us that we're not created to do that. To be in his image is to remember no more when people wrong us. To not keep a record. Don't keep reminding yourself that this person did a little something that rubbed you the wrong way. Amen. So, in closing this morning, God remembers you and me even when we're in a boat with a bunch of wild animals. I mean the boat, not your home, but the boat. Yeah, that too, okay. He remembers your situation, your heartache, your pain, your potential, because he loves you. He remembers. And even if you feel like this rain has been going on for too long, surely he's forgot. He left a spigot on. No, he hasn't. He remembers. He remembers where you're at, what you're going through, because he's bringing you to salvation. He's bringing you through the flood, the torrent, the storm. He's bringing you through it, saved by his grace. Praise his name. Max Lucado writes, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he is crazy about you." So God remembered the covenant he had with Noah. So God put this little sticky note in the sky whenever it rains. He says, maybe they'll remember about a time when the wickedness of man was increasing, and I had had enough. And I said, enough, but I found favor in someone who was living righteous. And I put them in an ark, and I saved their family. And through that family, I wanted to repropagate the earth. It's a sign for us to remember that God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. He reminds us every time it rains that He keeps His promises. Amen? Well, part of being in a relationship is remembering important dates. I got this wrong out at Lost Lake. I said that, you know, like 25 years, Jeanette, and I was looking at her in the eyes like, 25 years of marital bliss, and she's like, 33. I'm like, oh, really? I got it wrong? I tried. I got my boots on the wrong feet. I got my mittens on the wrong hands, but I tried. We set up remembrances, memorials to remember what's important, because this relationship is important. And Jesus called His disciples together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Let's start there. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let's receive. And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. Let's receive. God doesn't forget. And Jesus called His disciples together and said, I want you to remember this, that God has a plan for your salvation and the salvation of the world, and it's going to be through My body and My blood. So every time you get together and break bread, remember Me. Remember His grace. Remember His salvation. Include Him in every family event, every gathering, every moment. Remember. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You today that You have a great memory. You remember the things that save us and forget the things the sins that we have repented of, You no longer hold against us. Thank You, Lord. Today, Lord, we remember that our salvation did not come at a discount. You paid full price. Thank You for remembering Noah, for remembering us. And we, Lord, remember today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light.
Yes.
And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failures and pride. Until you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed, a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. Amen.
God remembers. I wanted to read for us this morning Deuteronomy 31. Kind of another blessing for the year. As I was reading this morning, this scripture kind of came to me based on what John was going to be preaching on. It's Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And I'm not sure who your them is this year. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I also wanted to share with you just a special blessing we had last Thursday, the beginning of the Well Ministry. We were able to serve a family of four that came in, and then a family of seven, I believe, that we took meals out to. And then all of the people who came to help, most of them were able to, not all, but most of them able to take some of the meals to people they knew who could really use them. So we had, I believe, 98 meals somewhere, 83 meals, and we were able to distribute them. So praise the Lord for that. If you would like to help with that ministry, we're going to be closing, locking these doors so that we can get prepared. But the back doors will be open at 5, so if you were wanting to help, come through the back, and then we'll open the doors from 5:30 to 6:30 to distribute the food. Today we would like some help, if you wouldn't mind, those of you who can. We're going to be removing the back two rows and then rolling in some tables and putting these brown chairs around them. If you have time and would like to help, we would certainly appreciate it. Just want to remind us that we have Wednesday night prayer at 7. We just kind of meet up here. You're more than welcome to attend that. And then we have rescheduled the Pathways to Faith and Action meeting. It's scheduled for Sunday, February the 25th, following the morning worship service. So you can bring your sack lunch, and we will eat our sack lunch. This ministry is an overall look at the ministries of Living Well Church, including the systems and procedures that facilitate planning and supporting the ministries of the church. So if you're kind of wanting to know how things are done, this would be a good meeting for you to attend. And then the last thing is a church board election is planned for Sunday, February 18th. So if you'd like to join us in that, please be in attendance. And is that the right scripture? All right. Can a mother forget a baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever with me. So good.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.